toe-tapping good time here at Rosie on the House. Gary, I don't dare start pushing the buttons in here, so I'm going to leave it up to you to bring in the callers.
I will do that.
Why don't you bring Tony into the conversation? Has a great topic he'd like to visit with that probably a lot of folks would like to visit on. Good morning, Tony. Thanks for calling Rosie on the House.
Good morning. Good morning. Hey, I want to put a gazebo in my backyard, and I was told that I needed to get a permit to put a gazebo in my backyard. Is that true?
Yeah, probably so, Tony. What building municipality are you in?
Phoenix.
In the city of Phoenix? You know, here's a couple things I do know. They're going to want you to stay out of the setback lines of your every lot has setback lines, side yard, backyard setback lines. You're going to have to stay inside of those. If you run any electricity to the gazebo, you're going to have a permit. And if it's over a certain size, I know if you put a are you a policeman? Are you on the are you running the police scanner?
No. I'm at work. I'm a heavy equipment operator, and they're talking on the TV.
Okay. All right. So, if you put like a tough shed shed in the backyard over 200 square feet, it requires a permit. What I would encourage you to do, Tony, is get a hold of City of Phoenix and tell them what you want to do. Chances are, yes, you are going to need a building permit. And I would tell you, if you're going to put a gazebo out here, here are just a couple finer points of how to locate a gazebo and how, and what to get to a gazebo. Most people, or some people on larger lots, say, well, I want to put the gazebo back in the far corner. I would encourage you not to do that. Keep the gazebo fairly close to the backyard of the house. That's where it's going to get the most use. You don't want to be able to be all the way out at the gazebo starting a barbecue and your hamburgers when you realize, ah, I forgot the Worcestershire back in the kitchen. So, you know, as one side of the burgers are getting burned as you walk back to the kitchen for your Worcestershire or your cheese, it just isn't worth the effort. I would encourage people to route more power out to their gazebo, because the more you use the gazebo, the more you're going to wish that you had a high-pressure compressor out there to run a misting system and a ceiling fan and a big-screen TV and a couple speakers and some lights. So that's the way a gazebo is intended to be lived. And then don't forget, if you have natural gas to the property, get gas out there as well as a drain and some fresh water, and you'll be all set. And I know to build that kind of gazebo, you will need a permit. Tony, I hope that helps.
Thank you, it did.
All right, buddy, good luck. Send some before and after pictures, would you? Let's go to Kim. Wants to talk about foundation problems on line two. Good morning, Kim. Thank you for calling Rosie on the House.
Yeah, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, I got a question. I got heaving problems.
Okay.
I had a couple of companies come out. One says don't worry about it. The other one, they want to do come in and take measurements and evaluations and all that.
Yeah. Can you where are you? What's the major cross streets? Where are you in Arizona?
We're in Queen Creek.
Okay. And if I walked up to the house, would you have to point these out to me, or would I see them? Would I see evidence of cracks or windows or doors that weren't open or closed?
Windows and doors are fine. Okay. It's our inside the house, some of our tile are cracking.
Okay.
That's what made us notice it.
Okay. All right. And are the tile cracking across the tile or through the tile joints, the grout joints?
A little bit of both.
Okay. Well, I would tell you the one guy that says let's take some measurements, that's called a manometer, and what they do is they create a topographic map to the nearest eighth inch of the inside elevation of your house, and once that's done, then we can track that over 6 months or 12 months and determine, is it continuing to move, or is this a one-time event that maybe it was just a weak link in the slab that cracked and it transferred through to the tile? So a manometer might not be a bad idea. How long have you been in the house?
We've been there for 13 years.
Okay, and when did it start cracking?
Probably 6-8 months ago.
Okay.
We are on an irrigated. We are on an irrigated lot.
Okay.
And water is probably 12, 15 feet away.
Okay.
We don't really have any standing water next to the house. I've got gutters up, so water. I don't know if it's an issue or not.
What did they want to charge you for the manometer? About $350.
It was like $525.
Was it $525? Okay.
$625.
Yeah. If I've been in a house 13 years, it's never cracked, and now it's just started cracking in the last 6 months. I don't know that I don't just watch it for another 6 months.
Okay.
And what I would do is I would take some baby powder, and I would kind of sprinkle it on that crack occasionally, and see if it absorbs any moisture. See if you've got any moisture creeping into the house itself. And baby powder is a great indication of that. Just sprinkle it over the top; it'll start balling up and get moist real quick. And if it's not, then I'm going to encourage you, maybe take a couple pictures and send it to me at info@rosieonthehouse.com. And let's just watch it for a little while. I'm going to get back to why I say that after this quick break. Most foundation problems in Arizona are heaving, and a lot of people mistake it for settling. We'll cover that real quick.